We're going to take just not a long time, but just a few weeks to talk about some of the various trials that come upon us for the testing of our faith. Last week I drew a little distinction between being anxious and experiencing distress. When we're anxious about our own lives, I mean, then there's something that's not as it should be. So if we're being anxious about our life, there's something else that we need to know or something else we need to walk in. You need to know, perhaps, that life is more than the clothes you put on or the food that you eat. Maybe you need to know that you're valuable to God. And He cares for things of even less valuable than you. He cares for the sparrows. He cares for the grass of the field. You need to know that you have value before Him, and He cares for what has value before Him. Maybe you need to know He knows that you have needs. He created human beings. He knows how they work. He knows what they need. He knows. Maybe you just need to be confident that He will be faithful. He holds tomorrow, holds the future in His hands. He's being faithful to you today. He will be faithful tomorrow. So if we're being anxious about our lives, there's something that's not as it should be. And there's find that thing from the Lord that's a cure for the anxiety, so that finally you can say with the Apostle Paul, be anxious for nothing. On the other side, if you're experiencing distress that's coming from various trials, not necessarily is there something wrong with that. So experiencing distress does not necessarily equate with the fact that there's something wrong. In fact, it's necessary for us to be distressed by various trials. If we want our faith on the day that Jesus Christ gets revealed to result in glory and honor and praise to Him, you need to be distressed in order for your faith to shine brightly on that day to His glory and to His honor. And I do think that some of us are experiencing that necessary testing of our faith. So it just seems good to linger, you know, for a little bit on that testing of our faith that comes through various trials, that comes, it's part of the many afflictions that belong to the righteous. I asked last week, kind of assuming that Job learned some things through the trials that came to him, assuming that he learned some things through the afflictions that happened to him, I asked this question. Could Job have learned the same things if he had read them in a good book? Suppose Job had had the book of Job to read. Could he have learned the lessons by reading the book of Job? So rather than learning it by experiences that he went through, could he have gained the lessons by reading of them? My answer to that question, I don't know what your own answer is or if you even thought about it, my own answer is, I think you can only learn by going through it. You can't learn the lessons by reading of it, even in an inspired, authoritative book like the book of Job. So that, of course, leads to the question, so then why write the book? If you can't learn the lessons by reading the book, why write it? I think the answer to that question is that when you do experience the afflictions and trials found in a book like the book of Job, then the book can help you understand the experience and help you learn the lessons that are only acquired through the experience. There's quite a bit of scripture, actually, that talks about the trials and afflictions that come to the people of God. And I think one primary reason why there's quite a bit of scripture is that scripture can give us help and give us understanding when those trials and afflictions come our way. And that understanding that comes by reading those things in the scripture or finding those things in the scripture helps make the difference between going through the trials and afflictions and just living and going through the trials and afflictions and living and learning. Some people just live. Others can live and learn. You know, and the presence of all that stuff in the scripture can help us be people, okay, when the trial comes, when the refining comes, you actually learn the lesson rather than it being in vain or being lost. So I want to be rather simple today, and I want to work to put just a little bit of definition, a little bit of content to what it is we're talking about. So what are we talking about when we say various trials? So today is a little bit, Roger, define various trials. And what is it that we're talking about when we say distress? Roger, define distress. So that's what we're going to do today. I don't want to turn you into a person who sees a trial behind every tree. Okay, that's not my goal. So that if you burn the toast in the morning, you're experiencing a great trial. You drop your phone and the screen cracks. Oh, the afflictions of the righteous are many, Or you get a cold or a flat tire. So I don't want to turn you into a person who sees a trial behind every bush. On the other hand, I don't want us to be people who are oblivious to what does come to test our faith. I want us to be oblivious to what is meant to refine us as believers. Because it's possible that the tests come and you can fail the test because all you do is freak out. Or you misunderstand it. And so, you don't benefit from the test because you didn't even know it was a test. You just freaked out. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says he wants to commend himself to God in everything. I would like to be commended as his servant and as a believer in everything. And in 2 Corinthians, he gives a long list. Here's part of what everything consists of. And I just want us to look at, not the whole list, actually, but to some things on the list. Paul says, I want to commend myself to God in these things. Here's some of it. I think it can help us understand some of what the various trials look like and some of what distress feels like and looks like. So put the first part up. This is out of 2 Corinthians 6. In everything, commending ourselves as servants of God. In much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, and in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. And I skip a couple verses, and then he says, by this, it's all part of the same list. Wants to commend himself as a servant of God by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, guarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. So all I really want to do today is I want to give you these words found in 2 Corinthians 6. Give you this list of words. Because I think these things will come your way. They'll come your way in order to make trial of your faith. They'll be part of the testing of your faith. You're going to have to learn what it means to be a person of faith in all these kinds of circumstances and happenings. And if you, and I trust that you do, if you would like to be commended to God in everything, you're going to have to assemble this list and be commended to God in each one of these things. So I just want to give you these words, because I think they can give some content to what do you mean by various trials and what do you mean by distress. So this is the first part of when Paul gives a list of words of things that he wants to be commended as God's servant. First thing I want you to notice is, notice he assembles 10 words. That itself reveals a lot, I think. And none of those words, look at those 10 words, endurance, afflictions, hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, and tumults, labor, sleeplessness, and hunger. None of those things make the list for experiences most wanted in life, do they? I mean, if you have a bucket list, experiences you want to have before you kick the bucket, probably none of those 10 things are on your bucket list, right? I just want you to know 10 of them. I mean, if you spent a year doing each one, it'd take 10 years. You'd be a decade older before you got through these 10 things. So don't miss the fact that there's 10 of them. And here, I just very simply, because all I want to do is give them to you. I don't want to, you know, linger really, really long on them or probe them. Some of these will come up in other ways when, as we just explore the topic. But I just want to linger long enough so that you notice each one. So the first one, it's kind of neat to read the Greek literally with the first one, because it says, in endurance, a lot of it. In endurance, mucho. You know, in endurance, industrial strength size. In endurance, large bonus pack. So that's how the Greek reads. It's just in endurance, much. There are things, they're part of the testing of our faith that come. You just have to get through it. You have to get to the end of it. So hang in there until it's over. There are things like that that test our faith. Just hang in there till it's over. Don't go away. I think most of the people that I have witnessed fall away from the Lord, this is the number one reason. They didn't endure. It's not that something was so horrible or so convincing or so lucrative or enticing. It's just, it didn't endure, you know. And so just hang in there till it's over. Also, of course, in here is that part of endurance is there are some things that you have to just keep doing. Like brushing your teeth every day. Just keep doing it. It can test your faith, but just endure. Second one, afflictions. Huge word. I'll be brief here because we'll touch it in other places. The main meaning of this word is pressure. Stuff that weighs on you. It crowds you. This is things that come from the Lord that get in your space. You know, if I walk down now, walk up to Jordan and stood this far from her face, you know, that's affliction. What are you doing? It's Bronson, you know, kind of like you're crowding, you're in my space, you know, I'm feeling pressure. What are you doing? Something weird? So that just things that come from the Lord that press you, weigh on you, crowd you. So those things are part of the testing of our faith. They maybe are different things for all of us, but the Lord will send things your way that just crowd you. And it always feels like it's like a half inch away from you, and you're always kind of moving away or something like that. It's affliction. Third one, hardships. The Greek literally here is necessities. It's a word that just means the things that are necessary. So there are things that come in the testing of our faith. It was a trial. That there are things that just got to be done. Demands. How many of you have demands on your time or on your life? You know, they just are things that have to be done. There are places where, okay, these things need to be done. And they can be a trial of our faith. It can be a testing of our faith. I mean, if you have small children, then you know what necessities are, right? Because through the course of the day, little kids have a lot of necessities. You can't say, oh, we'll get to that next month. You know, the kid will be dead by then. Things that got to be done, you know, to keep the kid alive and healthy. So you know what necessities are if you have little kids. Well, there's things the Lord sends our way. You just got to get it done. And also, of course, here is the idea of just in hardships. Not everything is easy. There are many things that are not a piece of cake. Sometimes we make it sound like if you really understand it, you know, you're really good at this Christian thing, everything will be a piece of cake. You just trust Jesus, you claim the promise, and you go forward in faith. It's a piece of cake. Not everything's a piece of cake. There are things that are complicated. There are things that have some complexity to them, some difficulties, some things that are hard, hardship. are often hesitant. Every now and then somebody will ask me like about the book of Hebrews, which I love, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ's high priestly ministry that didn't take place on earth but takes place in heaven. And, okay, let's talk about that. Great topic. And, you go a little bit and they go, give me the piece of cake version of it. There's not a piece of cake version of Hebrews. Doesn't exist. So if you're going to get the revelation of Hebrews, you can't live on cake because it doesn't work. So there are things like that. Fourth one, distresses. Different words get translated distresses. This particular one here in this list means narrow place. It's a word if you're up on medical things or getting older, you start hearing of stenosis. You know, stenosis of different things, usually that's bad in your body. Your veins are experiencing or your arteries are getting a stenosis. That's a narrowing. That's the word that's here. You know, it's just a narrow place where you get caught, where you get squeezed. We're proverbial. This is a place where you get caught between the rock and the hard place. You got to try to squeeze through that type of place. The Lord sends our way. You got to figure out what it means to be a person of faith when you're caught between a rock and a hard place. You get in that place where to satisfy one person means to disappoint another, perhaps. You know, I can satisfy this side of the room, but I'm going to disappoint this side. How did I get here? I feel caught. I feel squeezed. You know, it's a narrow place. Also in this word, there's a thought of the emotions can be painful. You know, there can be sadness there. There can be sorrow. Those types of places. It's just you're caught. You're squeezed. It's narrow. Number five, beatings. These are things that hit you, of course, right? They beat up on you. I suppose that beating up can be emotional. It can be psychological. But also it can be physical hardship, where following the Lord, walking in faith, just caused some physical pain. It takes some physical toll on you. Another part of this is that experience, which the first time it happens is almost always surprising, that others do have intentions to hurt you. We can't all just get along type of thing. Others kind of like they want to beat on you. They want to hit you. That there really are such folks and such happenings. You know, it can hurt you emotionally, psychologically. It can also just be literally physical, where you have to endure some physical hardship. Number six, imprisonments. Restrictions, of course, where you get cornered. You're locked up. You know, you're forced to things that are not of your own choice. You're barred from things that are normal, things that are ordinary, things that are usual. You know, you're kept from those things because you're behind bars. So that place where there's just lots of restrictions and you can't just do what you think you ought to do, or you're not free to do what you would like to do, those kinds of places can be a trial. They can be cause distress. You're just caught, barred from things that you would normally do, things that you would like to do in prison. Tumults. This is a cool word in Greek. It's onomatopoetic. You know what that means? That's where it makes the word makes the sound of what it is. It's like zoom, it's zoomed, or bang, or staccato. You know, the word sounds like what it means. The word here for tumults is akatatasia. And like, if you'd never had any Greek, and I said, and like, how did the meeting go? Oh, it was akatatasia. I mean, you would know what that meant, right? I mean, the thing was all, it's a jumbled mess, right? You know, it was messy, it was chaotic, it was unsettled, it was confused. There's a lot of upheaval, there's a lot of disarray. I mean, this is a word that describes what a room full of, 33-year-olds is like. It's akatatasia. That's what it is. It's just a tumult. Maybe nothing bad. It's just kind of like a hubbub of, a flurry, a chaotic mess. That can be a trial of faith. Labors. Hard work. without instant results or quick breakthroughs. This word contains the idea of something that's laborious, something that's wearisome, things about which you might say that wears me out. It could be as simple as talking to a friend. How many times have we had this discussion? It's like laborious to go through it again. Other things that just, it's hard work. You'll probably be tired when we get done because you have to work hard. Two more. Sleeplessness. You know, there's the deprivation. Being deprived of something that's needed by human beings. You need sleep. The next one, too, is a deprivation of hunger. So here, sometimes, to pass the test or to learn from the test, it means you can be deprived of things that, yes, things are needed for human life. But tonight you'll have to go without sleep. I think this one's also important to remind you that godliness, being faithful to the Lord, growing in faith, being perfected in faith, doesn't always happen during normal business hours. Sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes it's out of the way. If you make it only can be convenient, it only can be between during normal business hours, you'll fail of some things that would test and make trial of your faith. All of us have time to be faithful. God never called anybody to be in four places at once. Okay, so you have time to be faithful. But to be faithful is not always convenient. So there's times where you have to be willing to endure the inconvenient. Yes, we have to go till 2 in the morning. You have to go without sleep. And then the last one, you know, hunger. Again, something that's needed. So doing without something that you need. But doing without it is very distracting. It weakens you. So you have to be faithful even though you're in some discomfort, even though you're kind of distracted, even though you're weakened. Suppose like right now you had been on a 3-day fast. You come to this service and you plan, you know, after the service of breaking your fast. Finish watching the Super Bowl and I was going to break my fast then. I mean, right now, you're going, I don't know what he's talking about, but man, I'm hoping it's short, right? You know, you're just distracted and I'm weary and I'm hungry. And that claims your attention. So, 10 things, and it's just a list of words. All these things can come your way because you're a person of faith. All these things probably identify situations that I think you'll find yourself in. And you must learn what it means to be a person of faith amid such tests. And such tests will teach you what it means to be a person of faith. So that in everything, pretty soon you can say, I commend myself to God as his son or daughter and as his servant. So when Peter says it's necessary for us to be distressed for a little while by various trials, these are some of the things that will happen to you. You'll have the difficulties and the afflictions and the hardships and the tumults and the hunger and the sleeplessness. That's what it'll look like. So there's that second group of words. And here, let me just give more a summary of them. I think these things speak mainly of things that can happen in relationships. Things that happen in your connections to others. They speak of what can happen in relationships when you're being tested in your faith. They speak of what does happen in relationships when the Lord is making trial of your faith. So it results in praise, glory, and honor at the day of revelation of Jesus Christ. And when we're being tested, I think one of the things in summary here, you can experience things in relationships to others that are 180 degrees apart from each other. When that first happens, that can be very disorientating, can be very confusing. In relationship to others, you undergo some tests and somebody sends glory your way. And the person across the street sends dishonor your way. You say, well, which is it? You get tested in your faith and something that goes on in your relationship is some give a good report, some give an evil report. Times where you're seen as being an asset, being a benefit, and others will see you as being a liability.
You go, what do you do with that? How does that work?
But you can experience things in the relationships that are like 180 degrees apart. Part of the testing, when it happens in relationships or when it affects relationships, you also get regarded. You get understood in certain ways. And the ways that you get understood and the terms in which you get understood are usually not entirely accurate. Though perhaps you're true, you get regarded. You get perceived as a deceiver. Being regarded that way often then comes with false accusation, with a twisted interpretation of your motives or of your words or of the happenings. Relationships, you can be dismissed as unknown. Others who, they just don't see you as important. You're like an unknown. You're not a factor. You don't have any significance. You don't matter much. I think also that of as unknown idea has also the idea of can be lonely. Nobody knows. You're isolated. So there can be loneliness in relationship at a time of testing. You can be disdained by others. Like as just a has-been. Set aside as not needed. You're not the up-and-coming thing. You're the dead on the way out thing. There's others who just encourage you. You need to have some fun. You know, enjoy yourself. You know, don't be so sorrowful. You know, others, there could be many who think, whatever's going on with you, I don't think you're getting the best prizes. You're not getting the great treasures. Again, kind of like a waste of time. The testing that can come through circumstance, I think, is significant and real. But the testing that can come through happenings in relationship, maybe I'm just being personal here, those things can, I think, even be more trying. They can be harder on you, so to speak, more distressful than even the circumstances. So maybe you can handle some hunger and some toil. Okay, I can go without food for a little bit and I can work hard, but have somebody give an evil report about you, and you flounder. Because just somebody saying all that nasty stuff about you, that's not true. Boy, that trips you up. Maybe I couldn't get you to waver by beating you. I could take you outside and give you 39 lashes, and yes, it hurts. Yes, that's a trial, but I wouldn't waver just because you hit me 39 times with a whip. But if I make you lonely, just isolate you from everybody, so you're all by yourself, that'll get to you. That'll make you waver. So the things that can happen and do happen in relationships, in the connections to other people, those things can be indeed very distressful. To be misunderstood, to be perceived wrongly, to be dismissed as unimportant, just to be neglected, to be disdained or falsely accused, to be left out. You know, there's probably some things even in that list. I'm okay being left out. I like to be by myself. But then if somebody falsely accuses you, you don't do very well with that. So those things probably catalog some things in those verses that happen in relationships. When you have to know how to get through those types of relational happenings as part of the testing and trial of faith. So I know that's data. And I don't think we can learn the lessons by learning the words, even though my intention today is I just want to give you the words. I know that that itself won't teach any of us the lessons. All of us probably have to have the experience that the words name. You can't learn the lesson of sleeplessness by reading about sleeplessness. You have to be sleepless for a while to learn the lesson. But let the words help you understand when the experience comes. For me, that's been very important in my own walk with the Lord. That there have been times where I've just been in the midst of the trial. I mean, I've searched the scripture because I got to, Lord, help me understand, kind of like, what do you make of this? And it's been helpful to me to find it in the scripture and
okay, that helps me understand, helps me receive, helps me to walk in it.
So you experience akatatasya. Suppose that starts happening. Suppose that starts happening tomorrow at work. Everything just seems to, just fall apart and be a chaotic mess. And so it has to send you to the scripture, and there you find it right there in 2 Corinthians 6. Oh, a tumult. Paul had one of those. Had several of those. Okay, I guess I'm okay. Rather than freak out every time you get an akatatasia, right? Well, it's just a tumult. And that doesn't mean to trivialize it, but to name it and to identify it. Okay, how do I get through tumults and still be a person of faith? How does my faith grow, and what does it teach me? So just those words, I hope I can get you to reflect on them and kind of cherish them, and when those experiences come your way, send you back. Find that in the list. Oh, yeah, that's in the list. Narrow place. Here I am, squeezed. It's happened before to saints who have gone before. Hope that can be helpful to you. I also think it's important, just one final comment. I think one of the challenges for 21st century American Christians is we tend to like our Christianity the way we like it. And we'll work to make sure it gets delivered and portrayed and presented and can be walked in kind of on terms that, we are personally comfortable with. So we can fuss about the music until the music is like we like it. And we can fuss about the technical stuff until that's like we like it. And we fuss about the programs and the groups and the finance, whatever. We just fuss about it until it's the way we finally like it. I'm not sure God's very concerned about us having Christianity the way we like it. And so he'll throw in a tumult. He'll throw in a hardship. He'll throw in something that just presses and weighs on you, in parts because he's necessary for our faith to grow. Then he disorients you in relationships, and somebody suddenly is disowning you and giving evil reports about you. You can't just send a letter to the elders and get it fixed. So these things are things that are part of the various trials and the distress. You don't have to seek them out. The Lord sends them your way. Let the scriptures help you find your way through them and to learn the lessons of them. Let's close in prayer. Father, we know that it is indeed necessary, Father, for our faith, Father, to be tested, to be refined. Father, we desire faith that would result and show forth just in glory and honor and praise when you reveal your Son in his glory. So Father, help us with the various trials. Father, help us not to misidentify and, Father, name things as trials or afflictions or tests that, Father, just are not so. But, Father, help us, too, not to be oblivious to those things from your hand that are meant to train and to discipline and to teach, Father, to indeed, Father, press us into the image of your Son. Father, when those things come our way, we pray that the light of your word would shine light upon our path, and that the lessons they bring would be, Father, received and walked in by each one of us until, Father, until individually, until together, we can commend ourselves to you in everything. As your people and as your servants. Help us to that end, we ask. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.